Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Grand Prix. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Amini.
And I kind of confused there. You looked very confused as to...
Yes, because you said to me, oh, there's a new Auto Trader podcast jingle.
And there is a little bit of a... Well, it's not a new jingle. It is a video from, behind the scenes, things happen before you arrive on set.
Huh?
And our producers sometimes record me being silly. And there's a
oh,
of,
was it your singing before?
It's my singing.
As I walked through the door there.
Yeah, I do a lot of singing before. For anybody who doesn't know, that's what happens before we press record. I sing a little. So maybe one day I'll release an album or a compilation of all my weird and wacky songs that I sing.
Interesting.
Yes.
What are we talking about today?
So today, we're talking about fuel wars. So I read a very interesting article which spoke to how basically there are fuel companies on the planet who are the biggest fuel companies, by the way,
who are Exxon Mobil,
Exxon, I think it's Chevron, Shell, and how they're testing out different synthetic fuels to kind of prolong the internal combustion engine one. But most importantly, just to kind of make sure that they're still relevant in the fuel game. And I thought that was quite interesting, and we haven't spoken about EVs in a while, so we'll kind of be talking about how electric cars are going to be causing the next oil crisis, how these companies are implicated, and then talk about the fuel in South Africa. But before we get into that, George, I know we just released our new price ratings ad.
How much?
31. 3 million. Yes. Here's my couch. Bring it.
Introducing price ratings by Auto Trader. Now you can shop smarter, not harder.
I don't know if you've had any kind of feedback from people.
Just laughing faces.
Uh-huh. I've received this past weekend, I've received a lot of messages about how people feel about it. So,
and
yeah, people love it. I think there's lots of comparisons to a very popular brand that kind of pokes fun at South Africa. So I think it's going well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ad's doing what it was designed to do: make people laugh, and then introduce our new feature, price ratings.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, just check
it's
out.
It's the first time Auto Trader's done what we've done
like humorous.
Kind of like only presented the brand right at the end.
Okay.
Of the ad.
Yeah.
So we haven't done that before. Usually the brand is presented all the way through.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is the first time we've poked at humor.
Mm.
And then only presented the brand. So there's two things in that ad that are different to what we usually do.
100%. If you've seen the ad, it's on our YouTube channel.
Well, go into my Instagram profile, you'll see it. I've pinned it to the top.
100%. And if you want to know more about that feature, it's on the previous episode. So check that out. Moving on. So how electric cars will cause the next oil crisis? Do you think that's the case? First and foremost, that statement is very, very...
So
very
I think... I'm going to just check on this. I think there are 1.3 billion cars in the world... number of cars in the world. I think there are 1.3 billion cars.
Yeah.
1.446 billion. Ah, I was off for 100 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 20% of those are in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 1.4 billion cars on the planet. So let me go through the way I think about this. Okay. Then if you take another...
variable.
Huh?
Or data points.
Another data point, yeah. So number of car sales per annum worldwide, okay? And that's just Europe. Worldwide car sales, 67.2 million automobiles.
62.60, okay, yeah, okay, understood.
All right. So 67.2, sorry, not 60.7, 67.2 million vehicle sales worldwide in 2022.
Like a 5% sort of turnover rate, essentially, of new cars versus the car park.
Okay, so you're on the right track in terms of the way I think about this. Okay, so we've got 1.4 billion divided by 66 million. Mm-hmm. 67 million, called 70 million, yep. Right? How long is it going to take us to replace the entire fleet? If every new car produced and sold at any point in time is an EV, how long is it going to take us? 20 plus
years.
Yeah,
20 odd years,
right? And not all countries are complying at 2030. Some are 2035. Other countries will be later than that, specifically Africa, more than likely.
Mm.
So you've got to, I think, the point of departure is to replace those 1.5 billion vehicles in the world. If the car park didn't grow, which it will, because we know that there's lots of room for growth for automobiles, it would take a minimum of 20 years to transition the world's fleet to EVs.
Mm.
Okay, 20 years. So from 2035, call it, 45, 55.
Let's say there's a window of about 20 years before this question of will electric cars cause the next oil crisis? At least 20 years.
At least 20 years.
Before it's an immediate sort of issue.
Yes. So now you got to ask yourself, well, because we're definitely not going to have a scenario where suddenly overnight there's no more oil consumption. There's going to be oil consumption for the next three decades at least. So after 2035, that is, because at the moment we're still producing ICE vehicles. That's if everybody complies. So what do we do in the interim? So these oil companies are thinking about this in the right way.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a particular manufacturer that is putting their back behind this kind of fuel research is Porsche.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they were creating a synthetic methanol fuel for racing specifically and to kind of...
not for racing specifically only, but there's a reason. What's the iconic Porsche model?
911.
So the 911 is a rear-mounted engine, okay? And it's famous for that. It's a rear-mounted engine. It's not mounted between the back wheels or, behind the back seat like some Ferraris and other sports cars. It's in the rear of the car. That's one of its historical
kind of USPs.
USPs.
One of the things that people love about it, yeah, for sure.
Is where that engine is mounted and the kind of handling that car has, right? And people buy that Porsche 911 not necessarily for any other reason but because of its history.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very long history of consistent Porsche design and build. Probably one of the best sports cars on the road today is the Porsche 911.
Yeah.
So that's why Porsche is investing in the synthetic fuel. And so how does the synthetic fuel work? And I might be circumventing everything you have on this show.
I mean, I was going to speak about the Porsche synthetic fuel because I think it's one of the few brands who took the step before a lot, and they've really started trialing this.
But the reason is the 911. That's the whole reason.
For sure. So they've been trialing it in racing series. So they have a few 911s that they're currently racing with synthetic fuels.
But let's ask ourselves, what is a synthetic fuel?
So they use it's a methanol, which I think is
Where does it come from? So let me tell you where it comes from.
Yeah.
Synthetic fuel is not vastly different to fuel made from oil. Okay. The reason it's called synthetic fuel is because it takes carbon out of the atmosphere and recycles it. And then turns into combustion fuel. And the reason why it's something that's on the table for ICE vehicles is because it's in and of itself, it's carbon neutral.
Yeah, so it's renewable as well.
Well, it's using what we have in the atmosphere.
Exactly, yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
through the vehicle. It's not taking anything out of the earth. So you can, you know, you can argue that, okay, well, we're still using dirty fuel, even although it's renewable.
Yeah.
But I think that this is a really good move until the ICE fleet is replaced in the world.
So I think the thing that's stopping the... So I think it's very important to understand that consumers aren't... They don't really care in terms of, what, you know, if it's internal combustion
Porsche drivers
engine
do.
Versus... But Porsche drivers do.
So and I bet you there's a lot of other people that do.
But enthusiasts and people who love car history and the history of cars will, you know, care about that. But ultimately, a person just cares about getting from A to B. That's why most people buy cars, right? So if it's powered by electric energy versus synthetic fuel or internal combustion engine using just a normal kind of fossil fuels, they don't really care. I think price, a lot of the research I did in this, what I found was price was the biggest factor. So will electric cars cause the next oil crisis? You saying not really, not there's no.
No, it will put pressure on the oil prices, definitely. Yeah. So remember, it'll likely cause the oil crisis because with synthetic fuel you're not using the oil.
Yeah.
So therefore, the oil's kind of, you know, it has to be used in other places. I mean, it's likely going to still be used in ships. Mm. Likely going to be still used for other stuff, but definitely not in the future of motoring.
I saw some research that said that by, I think it's 2025 or 2024, about 2 million barrels will be offsetted by electric engines, by the advent of electric vehicles. So it's happening, but, you know, you're saying it's not really at a rate where it's going to be devastating.
No, for the oil industry, it likely will be because the synthetic fuels don't come from that source.
Yeah.
So therefore, your oil crisis statement is likely true.
But not right now.
In the next decade, 2 decades. After 2035, they'll start feeling it.
100%. So these.
But until if a synthetic fuel company, right, so Exxon or whoever else develops a synthetic fuel that can replace oil, then I think it'll just be
kind of shifting to a new. Not be oil anymore. It'll just be whatever produces that fuel.
Well, the synthetic fuel.
Yeah.
The thing we can't get away from though. Is that even in a synthetic fuel world with a combustion engine, from the oil itself, only 7% of that energy gets onto the wheels of the car.
Yeah.
An internal combustion engine vehicle is highly, highly inefficient.
Mm.
And just for that reason alone, electric vehicles are the future, is the efficiency. Never mind the simplicity and the moving parts reducing. Mm. So I think the 911s will stick around. The sports enthusiasts, I've always said, horses were relegated to the racetrack after the turn of this century when motor vehicles and the automotive industry came around. Racehorses are now on the racetrack, whereas we used to ride them in the streets. And cars are going
to be kind of relegated to only the racetrack.
Well, not only. I think they'll still be driving around the streets.
Yeah.
Right. Because chances are those cars.
But in terms of like mass production and mass markets, it's going to be.
It'll be electric vehicles.
Huh.
That's my opinion.
I somewhat agree. I mean, we've seen this with, you know, different things that have happened, smartphones, TVs. It's just kind of what happens. But I do have to disagree with regards to the speed. I think we're going to see a much quicker turn, in my opinion. I think. As soon as cars can or EVs can become a lot cheaper than 500,000 rand, I can't see it.
No, there'll be a tipping point. We just don't know what that tipping point is or when it is.
And it's going to be each year, it's going to get quicker and quicker and quicker as well.
Exponential growth curve.
For sure. Mm. And was it Moore's Law? No, yes. Yeah, Moore's Law. So, yeah, let's see what happens, but I think we'll be following that closely. I think it's in our best sort of interest. I mean, last year.
I think it's still going to take 20 years.
For sure. For sure. I mean, the sales last year, EV sales grew by 60% globally. And that's surely going to slow down at some point. I think right now, just the base is so low that 60% seems like it's a lot. But we've seen in South Africa as well, we're doubling. You know, it's even more than the 60% just in SA.
Yeah, but we're doubling off small bases.
Small base, yeah.
Yeah.
So just on the points of Chevron and Exxon, so they've been trying out these synthetic fuels, and they're coming from soybeans. And they partnered with with Toyota to kind of try out this new synthetic fuel in America. And they're finding about, what I found interesting is that it's not completely net zero yet. It's still sitting at around 75% for Chevron, and I think Exxon was at 40%, or the other way around. Exxon's 75% and then Chevron at 40%. So it's not.
Yeah, but that depends on the, that depends on the process.
Exactly.
I don't know who keeps phoning me, but let me just put this thing on Do Not Disturb because.
Yeah, so I find it quite interesting that it's still not at 0%, but you're right. It is a good step, and I think it's going to be a great way to kind of save the internal combustion engine.
Well, there are fuel processes that are net zero. Mm. You know, taking it from soybeans, is that net zero? Maybe not, because it's growing out the ground.
Exactly.
But if you can take the carbon out of the atmosphere, that surely is net zero.
I think Porsche's synthetic methanol is completely net zero. So there are ways around this. But once again, the process and also the performance, I think, is going to be a huge factor on what happens. There's so many things, so many companies doing it right now. So it's hard to see. Whereas with EVs, we know it's just batteries.
Porsches themselves say that they are shooting for 80% of their sales of cars being electric.
Mm.
So they're also on the electric path.
Yeah.
No, they're on the electric path. The company is going to become an electric car company, right? But they're not letting go of their iconic 911 and maybe some other models.
Okay.
That's why they're on this net zero and synthetic fuel pathway.
Yeah, let's see what happens. I'm rooting for them. I personally, I'm an advocate for change and I'm an advocate for the future. But I do like to think that we're going to have a few of them still buzzing around. I hope Lewis Hamilton is still driving, you know, a lovely Mercedes that's, you know.
Internal combustion engine.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, moving on. So, still on the topic of...
One day, I will own a 911. Internal combustion engine 911. Just because it's been, like, a dream of mine for forever. I've got nothing against ICE vehicles.
Yeah.
I just think they're old technology.
For sure.
They're just old technology.
For sure. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to keep checking Indonesia and seeing how close we are to that. So South African, in South Africa, the price just went up for fuel, specifically for petrol. I think diesel went down.
Have you seen what the Rand dollar is doing?
It did, because of our friends.
Oil is dollar-based, right?
Yeah, for sure. I did see what's happening there. So there's a little bit more pain at the pumps. So I did some digging to see, we've talked about this before, but not at length, about how much we're paying for petrol and diesel. So I did some digging and I found that essentially South Africa, we are number 95 out of 168 countries in terms of our price of fuel.
In relation to,
that's just the base price of petrol on average.
Okay.
So this is not in relation to anything. This is just base price, how much we're paying for it. However, if you flip the script and look at our average income versus how much on average we're paying for fuel, we're sitting at around 6, which is not great. It's about 5% of our income is fuel, which I found quite interesting. And I think that's going to be another conversation that's going to impact the how fast we're buying these electric cars.
Yeah, well, I mean, juxtapose the 5% of income.
Mm-hmm.
On fuel, right? Now, bear in mind, most people that pay for fuel in South Africa, or probably around the world, but I can only talk to South Africa. Most people that pay for fuel in South Africa pay using after-tax income, right? And tax rates vary anywhere from 18% right to 45% marginal tax rate.
On fuel?
No, marginal tax rate on your income.
On your income, okay.
Okay. So if you're at 45%, marginal income tax, right? You have to make double the amount of money in order to spend half of it, because 45% is going to the tax man. So therefore, is 5% of net income means you have to you're effectively having to make double the amount of money because of the tax in order to pay for that 5%.
For sure.
So the tax effect on this is big. The second thing is, how do we know 5% is good or bad? Because the best country in the world is under 1%, the USA.
So USA, I think 0.76% of their income essentially is going to, this after tax, is going to
fuel.
Yeah.
But if you look at the 0.76%, even if tax is at 50%, It's 0.76%, whereas ours is 5, which would become, you know,
it starts to compound quite fast.
It
adds up.
It scales quite quickly.
Yeah.
So 0.74% of income in the US goes to fuel. 5% of income in South Africa goes to fuel.
I would
something
love
wrong
to
with this picture.
100%. We're number 6 in the world in terms of.
Well, who are our peers at 5%? Greece, Chile, Poland, Portugal's at 3.82. So we can't use. I mean, Portugal's kind of getting low. Hungary 4.85, Mexico 6%, Turkey 7%.
Yeah, these are all countries that are.
You would think that Mexico has oil, or is right next to America. Why is it so much? Is it just their relative incomes are low?
I have my own theories, but all these countries that I see here have had some sort of socio-economic issue.
Yeah,
and you know it's not surprising that we. On that list, but at the very top is Turkey at 7.16%, which is exceptionally high. Exceptionally high. And I think these are the countries where you're going to see some sort of change in terms of, you know, the rates of people, the rates that people are buying cars and the rates that we're going to see EVs sort of take up some of the car park. But let's see what happens. That's pretty much all we have to. And
is there a Formula One race this weekend?
Formula One race this week. We're going to Imola. I'm really excited to see what happens there. 2 weeks ago, the race was a bit shocking. And I'm seeing a lot of chatter from a lot of drivers saying that they're not fans of this season.
Because of what? Sprint race?
There's a lot of changes happening. One, also the domination by Red Bull is severe.
Why didn't we have this conversation when there was domination by Hamilton?
We did have that conversation. That conversation was dead.
No, I think you're biased.
No. So that's not the only thing. It's not just about the Red Bull domination. That's just going to, you know, Alonso, in fact, said that we've had that. That's just kind of F1. There's always going to be one team that's kind of
dominating.
But the drivers are complaining that the racing, excluding Red Bull, because they've just built a perfect car, excluding them, in terms of the overtaking opportunities, they're finding it harder than last year.
Well, apparently Pirelli's bringing a new test qualifying tire, which is a new wet compound, apparently, that improves sustainability.
Interesting, because also tires have been spoken about how they're overheating this year as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, lots are happening. Let's go to Imola and let's see what the boys can do. I really, really hope that we can come back. We're going to be releasing a new car. Some new upgrades in the next two races. So
I must, before we end off, yeah. I must tell you what I had last weekend.
What did you have last weekend?
The new Kia EV6.
Oh, yes. I heard about that. Yeah.
What a stunning, stunning electric vehicle. I think it's the only one in the country at the moment.
Fully electric.
Yeah. Let me tell you like a few things about this car that I found very competitive. The first thing is it has this auto hold function. So you push a button and when you come to a stop, doesn't matter what gradient you're on, up, down, flat, it'll hold the car there. You don't have to put your foot on the brake, nothing. So that was a neat feature. It had probably, arguably the best level 2
autonomy sort of system.
No, a cruise control, adaptive cruise control that I've been in with lane keep assist.
Yeah.
We'll put a picture of me in the car up here. That's the one feature. What I didn't know about this Kia was that it's got vehicle to grid capabilities.
Can I guess what that is? I'm assuming understanding where the next charging station is.
No.
Okay.
So you can power your house with the car.
Oh, nice.
Vehicle to grid.
Okay.
You can power your house. You can send electricity back into the grid. It's got that feature. It's got a 350 kilowatt capability inverter on it.
So what's the range that you have?
It's got a very, very good range. It's range. I mean, when I got the car, it wasn't 100% and there was like 450 Ks left on the range.
Wow.
And it just looks beautiful.
Yeah,
it's got these lines that just look futuristic. You climb in the car and there's screens.
Mm.
Looks like an EV. My first impression of this car, of the Kia EV6, was it wasn't an ICE vehicle trying to be an EV.
Yeah.
Many manufacturers have created ICE vehicles created EVs that are ICE vehicles trying to be an EV. This is not an ICE vehicle trying to be an EV. This is an EV.
Yeah.
And there's many, many other features. It's won an award for its indicator system. You put your indicator on and a circle appears on the screen with the rear facing camera, well, the wing mirror camera facing backwards.
Okay.
So you can see much better execution
than I've
seen in any other car.
Of all the EVs you've driven in the last 2 years now, I think it's been about, where would you rank it on that list? I think at the very top you had iX.
iX40 is still my favorite EV.
Okay.
Next to my Jaguar I-Pace. Mm. And I would say that this Kia, because it's not quite the premium stitched leather, all that stuff. It's also not cheapy. It's kind of in that mid range.
Okay.
But well executed EV. There were so many features on this car that I really appreciated. The regenerative braking. You use the paddle shift similar to Audi and I think Mercedes, where the paddle shift is used to change the regenerative braking. But that was normal. But there are so many little features on this car that I thought was just well thought through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's 100%. Actually, interesting, before we leave, I recently looked at the numbers in terms of which manufacturer is getting acquired the most in terms of EVs. I'm not going to reveal that now because I think we can do an article about it. But
you can reveal it?
I will reveal to you. Behind closed doors. Maybe in the next episode.
You know what you've done to the users now.
maybe in the next episode I'll reveal it as soon as the article's out. But yeah, thank you very much. We've had, that's pretty much all I have for you today, George. Jeez, let me try that again.
I'll see you next time. Go Alonso.